You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Broman Show 147. I hope you're doing good. It's Friday for me. We usually do this on Wednesday, so I don't know why you needed to know that, audience, but you know now. I'm joined today by Brian McGill. Brian is a doctoral student in physical therapy, or a doctor student, and he has been reaching out to me via email because his focus and what he wants to be working on, or is working on, I suppose, the right way to say it, is how to best support gamers in, or anybody who's, I guess, sitting for long periods of time. You know, it's a sort of keep control of our bodies over a long period of time. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben. It's incredibly awesome to just have this opportunity to get to talk to you and start to just kind of have a conversation about some of the things that I've been thinking about and kind of combine these two spaces of physical therapy, exercise, health and wellness, all those kinds of things with the gaming industry. I think that's kind of where we're going here.
I totally agree. You know, as the gaming space grows up, you start to get more professional services show up. I talked about this for like a long time, right? You know, when everyone started YouTube and Twitch, they didn't need an accountant. But then like the first really successful people were like, oops, I made a few million dollars and I really need an accountant because this isn't like working at my 9-to-5 job. And as esports has grown, and I think everyone, especially because of the pandemic, has taken a much closer look at their health over the past couple of years. I think that it's kind of the perfect time to think about. Well, it's always the perfect time to think about prehabbing anything in your body, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you, right now, what do you think the biggest, if you could tell everybody one physical therapy thing, because I want to give every, like right in the beginning, like,
yeah,
what would you tell somebody who's sitting down, like, let's say they're me, and they stream for 6 to 8 hours or longer every day, you're sitting, you're using a mouse and keyboard or a controller, like what do we do? Brian.
Yes.
Well, how do we stop it?
So I think the biggest thing that we have to look at is, first of all, there's no one exercise that you can do that is going to fix whatever is the problem that you're having, whether that be neck pain, back pain, wrist pain, finger pain, or just you're tired all the time. There's no one exercise that's going to fix that. That's kind of a fallacy that, or a myth that, you know, there's an exercise for everything, right? Really what it's about, and kind of what we've been learning in PT school, is that it's more so about behavior. So for instance, it's not necessarily the postures that are always causing all these problems. It's really, well, you're in that posture for too long, right? So I would argue the best thing you can do is simply stand up, right? If you stand up and take a break from sitting. Yes, I notice you're standing yourself. You kind of get away from those postures that may be causing you to have some of those pains, or you might even, you know, be giving your joints a break, your fingers, your hands, your wrists. You're giving yourself a break. That's kind of, it's not necessarily, oh, do this exercise to correct this thing. Really, it's just more about modifying that behavior and taking a break from gaming, getting up, getting blood flowing,
We had the gamer doc on like right at the beginning of the pandemic, and she had something very similar to say about that. But let's take a step back. For somebody who like has no idea what physical therapy is, right? What is it?
Sure.
Like, what makes physical therapy different than going to my primary care doctor or going to like work out with a random dude who's going to scream at me at the gym? Like, what's the deal?
Yes. First, both of those are great options. They both serve different purposes, right? And obviously PT is also going to serve a different purpose. So really what a physical therapist is we are doctors. I'm a doctor of physical therapy student. So that is a three-year program of really intensive clinical and course and a lot of didactic coursework. So for us, we do like four clinical rotations where we're actually practicing in a clinic, learning how to use our skills that we've learned in the classroom. So we have lots of clinical experience going into the workforce, but really what it is that we do is we are movement experts. I would say we are probably some of the most qualified people to teach movement, teach exercise, teach how to relieve pain. The general idea of a physical therapist I like to give is that, we'll take this example of your primary care physician, right? They usually prescribe you medication, right? So they prescribe medication in a certain dose, or they give you a prescription, and they probably will have you come back in and see how you responded to that dose of medication, right? Whether it be for high blood pressure or whatever. For us, our medication is exercise. That's the medication that we're prescribing for certain, whether it be injuries, pains, or other pathologies in the body. We are prescribing exercise to hopefully allow that to basically facilitate healing and get that person stronger and back to reach their goals.
Yeah, that's a great summary. I have been doing physical therapy for myself because I had surgery right before the pandemic. And I didn't get a chance to do the rehab because we all got locked down. So it was a really weird thing to sort of realize, like, oh, I'm having all these weird things happening in my body. It was just like a year later. And I was like, what's wrong? And it was like, I never learned how to walk right again after like being off of my leg for so long. And you wouldn't think that being, like, I wasn't completely inactive, but like I was moving weird for like 6 weeks, right? Because I had a boot on and I'm going up and down stairs with it, right? And then when everything came off, it was like a sedentary lifestyle. So I never rebuilt that move. Like, I was trapped at home. Everyone was trapped at home. And I never rebuilt those skills. And so 2 years after that, I guess like a year and a half after that, I started developing pain, I was like, why can't I fix this with exercise? And it was because I was like moving wrong. And I discovered that a lot of, you know, my ligaments and muscles in my right leg had shortened because they had just been not used. And
exactly.
And there's not like that, you know, most stuff with your body, like if you get sick, there's like a pill, or if you like want to work out, you can just get stronger. But physical therapy is completely different. And I used to power lift for a long time. And I always looked at physical therapy and like prehab stuff and I would do it, but I would never, what's the right word? I never really took it super seriously, but now I'm like, oh God, I'm glad I at least listen to these people, because when you stop moving, your body stops thinking it has to move.
Yes, your body is great at adapting, and it adapts to what you do, right? And so if you don't move your muscles, you're not going to waste that energy on preserving the right length of your muscles or the amount of strength in your muscles. It's your body's not going to preserve that function because, well, it thinks that it's not needed. So that's why, yes, you're absolutely right. Movement is so important. Even at those early stages of your recovery, that's really why a physical therapist is there to help you during that time because it's you have to be careful, right? You don't want to do too much too soon and risk further injury. That would be bad. And I'm sure your doctor would not have been happy if you failed whatever, you know.
Yeah, don't finish your antibiotics, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's that kind of thing.
So.
So we're talking about the intersection of physical therapy and movement-based therapy and esports, and I guess from a broader scale, gaming. So what do you feel like? What do you feel like the emergent problems are right now in gaming? Right. We have people like me who do it as like a fun job. Right. But I don't have to be playing with high levels of accuracy all the time and things like that. And then you have individuals on esports teams that are practicing upwards of 12 hours a day. You know, and just like any other sport, you're going to get overuse injuries and all this other stuff. So, you know, what are some things that have started to come out of the esports space as like, oh, these are like the leading causes of injury? And how are those being dealt with right now?
So as far as looking at what's going on right now in the esports world, you already mentioned it. It's those repetitive overuse type injuries. Because like you said, these people are, or these athletes are really doing basically the same thing as professional athletes. They're putting the same amount of time and work and effort in as Michael Jordan was on the free throw line, right? So it's just that they're doing smaller, more micro movements, but they're still causing that repetitive stress to those small joints in your fingers and wrists. And even think about the posturing that they're, you know, gamer posture is one of those things that, you know, kind of leaning in fun of, but yeah, this kind of rounded shoulder, head forward. And right, that posture is not necessarily bad in itself, but when you do it for days upon days and end and you're not changing and getting up and moving, that's when we start to see those chronic pain of back pain and things like that start to take shape. So really the two most common issues, like you said, are those repetitive stress injuries. Those can show up in things like carpal tunnel syndrome, which is like an inflammation of your carpal tunnel, which houses some ligaments and your median nerve that innervates a lot of the muscles and does some sensory innervation in your hand. And then also things just like you can have inflammation in your joints. And then obviously those more postural syndromes that we're seeing with neck pain, low back pain, those are kind of more problems we're seeing right now.
I'm super interested in neck problems right now because I have throughout my streaming career, I've had so many different monitor setups. I've had, I had like two vertical ones and I've moved everything around. I always try and like every 3 months move where I put my primary windows. So I'm not always like looking at the same spot. But what is it like? You have to like lean in and look, right? So I guess for me, the question I always have is what's the line between, you know, what's like safe and acceptable amounts of like using your neck, like you can get it into the position, so you should be able to do it. But like, exactly. So what do we need to be doing to like prevent further injury or prevent like, you know, permanent postural changes? Well, I guess that's my first question. Are any of these changes permanent?
That is
if we're talking about like, you know, if I'm just starting to develop neck pain, if I'm just starting to like, oh, wow, like I'm really tired. Like what is the point to where you should seek intervention?
Yes. So the hard thing with that are you experiencing that pain because of the postures that you have been in throughout your whole life? Mm. Or is that just a natural phenomenon of aging? Right.
Right.
Is it just because you're getting older and your joints are, it's kind of common knowledge that as we age, things start to just deteriorate. Right. I would say what's not normal is maybe a 20-year-old who's having neck pain for some unknown idiopathic reason, right?
Right.
But kind of getting at some of the things that we might be able to do, like I think the biggest thing is setting up your environment to set you up for success. So, you know, PTs do a lot of things like we know a lot about how the body should be aligned. And I think that, you know, things that often get overlooked is how can we set up a sound ergonomic environment? There's a lot of different, you know, opinions, I would guess. But my guess is that you really want your head to be in some type of neutral posture. So, you know, not too forward, not too back like this. You don't want to be always constantly looking to one side and not constantly looking to the other. Things of that nature, you obviously want... and I'm not very good at this, but you want your monitor probably elevated to eye level. That's going to be the most, because that's just going to set you up to be in the most neutral position.
I have a question about eye level, because people ask like my camera is not in a normal position. So everybody thinks I'm cranking my neck like this sometimes, but I'm not. What part of the monitor is at eye level? Is it the top? Is it the bottom? Is it the middle? Is it like where your crosshair is? Like, what are we trying? Like, what's the answer? Because I get asked all the time.
I'm going to say this a lot probably in this podcast, because I hear it a lot from my professors, but it depends, right?
Oh, okay.
It depends. It depends on the game, I would imagine, right? For most games, you're probably always looking in the center of the screen, right? If you're playing in a first person shooter or something like that, right, you're probably always looking at kind of the center where your crosshair is. So you probably want your eye level right in the middle of the screen, I would say. But if for whatever reason your game requires that you are looking at the bottom of the screen more, the top of the screen more, you probably want that to be eye level. I'd say it's wherever you're spending the most amount of time on that screen, that's where you want that center piece to be for your eyes.
Okay, that makes sense. So in that vein, if we're trying to take the best care of our body, does that mean that for your like your primary gaming monitor, it would make more sense to get something like I have like a monitor arm for my gaming thing, right?
Sure.
It can go up and down and it can like spin, whatever. Like is that's something that might be a worthwhile investment against a standard mount?
For sure. I think if you financially can afford something like that, that would be an accessory that would definitely improve your ability to just to be more mobile, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, if you want to put your monitor up a little bit to the left today, just because that's what you want to do, right? I think it would allow just you to have a more mobile kind of interface with your screen and allow you to kind of just have more movement in general.
That's a reasonable... I think one of the things I'm always looking for when I'm recommending stuff for people's setups is like, what's the biggest bang for your buck? And for me, a lot of last year and this year has been like, I want to invest in my health. And it's crazy how many locations you can actually do that. And one of the best decisions that I made was, you know, finally installing a standing desk. But then the next one I did was buying this monitor arm. Helped me so much because I was used to having like one static position, and I would get so tight back here, and I'd be like, oh my God, at the end of every stream, and then having a little bit of fluidity. So, and honestly, if you're at home and you're shopping for one, like, they go on sale pretty often. And at this point they end up about the same cost as any other mounting device that you're looking for. This is another question. What about gaming on the couch? Like, what about all of the living room folks that are watching on a console or listening, there right now? What is, like, obviously this is when you're at a desk, you have a lot of control. When you're in a living room, you don't. Like, what do we need to be doing in the heart of the home? To keep everybody safe, or to try and keep ourselves moving.
So, I mean, gaming in itself is kind of a comfort activity, right? It kind of allows you to alleviate stress. So gaming on the couch is perfectly fine, right? But if you're doing it all the time, right, there might be some ways that we can kind of improve that area a little bit. Trying to get, because a lot, I think when I sit on the couch, right, I'm slumped over like this. I kind of fall into the crevice of the couch, right? So trying to get some type of back support. It can be maybe a harder pillow, or maybe even just taking a towel roll, rolling it up and putting it behind your lower back. That might just help you kind of be able to remain in more of a neutral spine posture, avoiding some of those kind of prolonged flexion based that kind of tend to stress the spine just a little bit more. So that's one of those things that just is kind of an easy fix.
You're talking about shrimping, right? Like curling up like a shrimp, like the shrimping is bad.
Yes.
Try to interrupt the shrimping with some towels.
That's an easy fix right there.
I I am guilty of that. What about, I'm just going to start asking you questions about what I do. What about like those of us that sit with one leg tucked underneath us while we game?
Yeah, you see the face.
Yeah,
I am guilty of that as well. And I will say, I try to, I think the biggest thing is being aware of that, being aware of your posture that you are in, and saying that, okay, I know I kind of, this is kind of my crutch. This is kind of what I constantly do when I'm sitting in this chair. Try to do the opposite. So if it's always your left leg that you're kind of crossing underneath, see what it feels like when you cross your right leg underneath.
Oh,
it's probably going to feel really weird.
Yeah,
I do it all the time, but I'm trying to force myself to realize that this is okay. And it kind of, and I can tell I'm so much more tighter in my hip in that region just because I never do it on that leg. And then my other leg is like, I can swing it all the way back. And, you know, so I think being aware is kind of the first thing. And then saying, okay, I always do it on this side. Let me see if I can do it on the other side a little bit more and try to even it out. I think trying to find that balance is really important. Like I said, there's not going to be one exercise that's going to correct that, but more of that behavioral modification there.
Oh, awareness and movement, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So from the research that are, that everyone did before the show, it seems that there are more injuries that tended to come with age that are happening with younger and younger patients right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? I feel like I'm doing okay, and I don't feel like I don't feel like any kid at home is like gaming more than I am or whatever during, you know, during my life. So yeah, like what's going on there? When what injuries are showing up early, I guess, first.
So I will say this is more targeted towards your typical sporting athletes.
Okay.
And it may be playing a role in our young esport athletes as well. But typically you think about the sport like baseball, right? A lot of repetitive stress from throwing on the elbow and the shoulder. And we're seeing more and more kids starting to play these sports year round. So they're doing constant involvement of the same movements over and over and over again. They're this repetitive stress or overuse type injuries. And they're really more, these are really more adult injuries, right? No kids should really be complaining of elbow pain and getting Tommy John surgery at the age of 16. That's not really normal. This absolutely could be playing a role for our esport athletes as well. I mean, you think about how early we started gaming. I was probably wasn't even in school yet when I picked up a controller or something like that. And
was like five.
Yeah, we've been doing it. Yeah, we've been doing it ever since then. And especially now, these esport athletes who are maybe doing it at the ages of 15 through 20 and stuff like that, they might be a little more prone to those repetitive use injuries as well. But again, there's not a lot of research on that. So that's still kind of developing in our understanding of what's going on. Yeah.
So one might guess from the assumed cause, which is no rest at all, that some sort of structured long form rest is like necessary for like the longevity of singular function movements like throwing. Mm-hmm. Right. I could definitely see if you're playing. I mean, it's like three times more, right? If you're playing all year, you're training, training two or three more full seasons worth of throwing. You're packing 4 years into one. Whereas for me, when I was growing up, even the best athletes in our schools, they would play every sport. They'd play soccer, then they would play baseball, then they would play football, then they like whatever. Like it was always just cycling through the different sports instead of sticking on one. But yeah, I guess high school sports and college scholarships are way more competitive now. So everyone's looking for the edge.
That's the thing, right? And that's, I guess, where PT can kind of come into play, right? Is there some sort of preventative measures that we can take for the young athletes? And I think absolutely, right? If we can, from a physical therapy perspective, we're looking at musculoskeletal complaints. So if, I take my baseball player who's been having elbow pain, and there's really no stopping him playing three seasons, right? His parents are set on it. He's set on it. We got to roll with it, right? We got to find some way that we can maybe get him stronger and get him ability to tolerate those three seasons. So that's really where PT kind of comes to play in that mind. And we can strengthen, we can stretch, we can do all those things. But, you know, at that point, it's kind of just like, are we just kind of just keeping them going at a certain point, and then they're going to, you know, eventually crash and burn? Or
that's kind of my next question is, is there a diminishing return, right, on constant? Yeah, that feels like an impossible to solve problem, right? Because the overuse is happening. There's no way to prevent it happening because that's, you know, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. Everyone, like, if it's your job, it's your job, right? You're going to do it like it's your job. So that's really interesting. Are there studies that talk about, you know, the lengthening of people's careers or the lengthening of functional movement for folks that are engaged in long-term PT and stuff like that?
I am not sure. That is, that would be some pretty interesting research. But what I will say is that a lot of times what we tell our patients is that once PT stops, that does not mean that you have to stop, that you should stop doing these exercises that we've given you, right? A lot of times people take, for instance, the 50-year-old with back pain, right? Let's say that they, there's a lot of them out there, right? So let's say that they improve with PT and, you know, they're having lower levels of pain, they have more function, they're able to walk longer, they're able to do all these things and they feel like they're good. But that's when they were doing those exercises. If they stop doing those exercises, it's likely that they're going to fall into back into the same habits and that pain may start coming back. So it's kind of this idea that there's really no stopping PT. You kind of have to carry it throughout the kind of your whole life.
Right.
And realize that there are going to be these peaks and valleys in your health. And sometimes we're at a peak and we're feeling really good. And maybe we kind of tone down a little bit. And then maybe there's sometimes we have these valleys where we're experiencing pain and dysfunction and things like that. And maybe that's when we need to ramp up our prehab or, you know, exercise and habits as like that. Yeah.
Or like just finally admit to yourself that it's time to like regress a little bit. I think that's that's been a big difference maker for me is that I would look up exercises to do for PT and I would try them and I like, these don't feel like they're working and everything. I was just so weak that it was but I had no comprehension of like what that weakness felt right. Cause I think for me growing up, right. Like weakness is just the inability to exert power on something. But, you know, because that was it was lifting, right? Oh, this is too heavy. I'm weak, or like I should get stronger for this. But it's not when it's inside your body, when it's like tiny muscles that aren't supporting the right thing. It's really it's insidious because you just think like, ouch, my knees hurt after I squat. That's where I started. Or like my heel won't really stay on the ground anymore when I'm trying to do a squat. And in reality, it's like movement. You have like movement restriction. And, I mean, for me, like the whole posterior chain of my right leg was like totally screwed up. So I had to start like, you know, relearning how to do squats and everything, but you know, I couldn't even do my body weight. It was very embarrassing,
right?
But like you need to be willing to do that.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of times it maybe even be you have to be willing to go and seek out some help too. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I think we're at a time where PT is becoming more accessible to a lot of different people. I believe in most states that, you know, it used to be that you had to go to your primary care physician and get a referral for PT. That's really not the case anymore. You can simply walk into a PT clinic and say you want to make an appointment at most places and they would be more than happy to, you know, take you in. It's not necessarily you have to have some type of, you know, disorder that's going on with you and referral from a primary care physician. So PT is definitely becoming more accessible to be able to help reach out to more people. And hopefully, as we see in the future, hopefully the gaming space as well.
Yeah. And there's so many, there's a lot of great resources out there as well. You have to watch out for quacks, but, you know, I like TikTok for doing my research on stuff that works. Do you have any content creators that you're like, wow, these people make great PT content? For somebody who's listening to this right now and they're like, I want to hop into doing this, I want to take it seriously, I want to deal with my pain, like, where are they going? Where would you send them?
So great question, because there is so much content out there on not just PT, but exercise and fitness as a whole. And I think, some of it's good, some of it's great, some of it's, you know, can mm-hmm. be concerning, but
problematic and unhelpful.
Yes. If I were to direct someone, and I think there's a great Instagram page, I think they have a YouTube too. It's called The Prehab Guys. I don't know if you have heard of them, but they are fantastic. They have a lot of great friendly content. So it's not, you know, it doesn't have all these medical terms and all these things, you know, it's very, you know, user friendly, and it's actually evidence-based practice. These are real PTs, doctors of physical therapy, who are taking time out of their day to make content for a variety of different problems that, you know, anyone would experience, from foot pain, knee pain, back pain, all the way up the kinetic chain. I think that they're some of the best people that, if you're just trying to get into it, their Instagram page has a lot of great resources for everyone.
I like The Prehab Guys. How do you feel about what's his name? Knees Over Toes Guy.
Knees Over Toes Guy. Yeah. I've heard of him, but I have not really seen a lot of his content. I think that he's doing a great job of kind of, you know, I think that the problem that he's addressing is that people have the idea that there are bad exercises and there are good exercises for certain things. I don't think there's a bad exercise or a good exercise for anything, really. Maybe there's good exercises, but there certainly isn't a bad exercise. It's really how you perform and how much of that exercise you do, which can be bad. So generally, putting your knees over your toes does put more stress on the knee joint and the quads, because the quads have to do more work. Because if you think about it, it's basically a physics problem, right? If that lever arm is farther away from your center of mass, your body, it's going to require more force to keep you from falling over, right? So that's why it's a bit more stressful on your knees. But I think he's doing a great job of kind of helping that there should be no fear in movement. There should be, you know, all movement should be acceptable. And I think he's doing a great job at kind of targeting that problem.
It's been, I've been following his program for my knees. And it's been super helpful, awesome. Like working.
Yeah, I bet.
Working backwards and working really slowly. Like I would have never been like, oh, wow. Like, wow, my ankles are, my right ankle is actually terrible. And like, that's what's messing with my knee.
I wouldn't have
had the awareness. Like, he's got the tests. And it's crazy to me what I've discovered from trying to get back into and like learning some of this is how, I feel like when I was being coached, I got bad movement cues from my coaches. And part of fixing everything has been unlearning some of those bad movement cues.
Sure.
So I know physical therapists are the specialists. What are some of the best like movement cues that you have learned for, like, you know, let's like primary exercises? Like, let's say someone wants to squat.
Yeah.
Right. Someone wants to do a really good push-up. Like, what are the movement cues that you use to make sure that you're moving the right way?
That's a great question, because this is a really interesting topic. And something we actually learn a lot about is, how do we facilitate someone to learn a new movement or actually relearn a new movement?
Yeah.
And a lot of the research says that there are two types of cues that can be given: an external cue and an internal cue. So an external cue focuses the learner's attention on an external object, whereas an internal cue focuses on some type of internal process in the body. And actually, the research shows that when we focus on utilizing external cues in our instructions, they have better performance, and better performance over a period of time as well. So the ability to transfer that task is much better. So for an example of doing a squat, right, we might think that an external or an internal cue might be to, you know, maybe just try to, you know, squeeze the glutes or something like that, right?
Right.
Or squeeze your quads, right? Whereas an external cue might be that to sit down to the floor, right? That might be an external cue that we use because we're directing the attention of the learner away from the body and to an external object. Another use of external cues is actually like a tactile or physical cue. So you see those resistance bands that people put around their knees. That's actually a really great external cue to facilitate someone's knees from collapsing in. It's kind of just a way of, you know, preventing or helping with that more better squat posture in general.
Yeah. That squats was the huge one for me because I was so worried about my right knee. It was like, I forgot about the rest of my body moving. And I was doing all sorts of jacked up weird stuff. And it wasn't until I started, regressing. I was like, okay, so I saw something was like, you know, put your hands on your hips to keep yourself aware of like where you are pointing, where you're actually pointing your, you know, center of motion. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm like tucking this hip here. And just like the resistance bands, I think it's really interesting when you stop and slow down and listen to your body and try to actually like feel where it's at in space, which was really difficult for me. That was like a totally new experience for me. It was always, I always got external cueing, right? Like pick this up, move towards this, right? It was never, not a lot of internal thought stuff, but just being able to feel and then, you know, take the knowledge that you get from your physical therapist and really apply it to making your movement better every day. I am super curious what made you decide to get into physical therapy?
Yeah, so that's a great question too. I guess the typical response, right, is, you know, for a lot of us PT students, you know, we had some type of injury or experience where we had PT in the past in our childhood, maybe. And, you know, that kind of opened us up to this idea that, wow, this exercise is really cool. Like I can actually use this to fix certain problems in my body and correct postures and correct muscle imbalances. And that whole idea was just incredibly amazing to me. You know, I think I had multiple injuries in my childhood sporting, endeavors. And you know, I had PT several times. And I think just through those experiences, I was so amazed by what, you know, exercise can really do for the body and specifically how really targeted exercise can help change the body and change movement to allow it to be more optimal for whatever it is, whatever task you're trying to accomplish. So that's kind of, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that PT, you know, I kind of had this idea that I'd just be helping athletes rehab and do all these different things. And, you know, I think my perception of PT now has changed so much because, you know, it's not just athletes we work with. We work with everyone across the board from young children with developmental disorders, all the way up to geriatrics, older adults in nursing homes. We work in so many different settings, from acute inpatient hospitals to skilled nursing facilities to even doing home health PT. We work across the board, and that's really opened my eyes and seeing that, okay, there's so many opportunities in this field. You can really choose there's so many different options.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything. Like as a patient, like I totally agree with everything you said. Movement is something that you do all the time. And often we are made unaware of it because of stress or because our focus is lying elsewhere. And because of that, you can end up with some long-term problems. And so taking all of Brian's advice and applying it liberally to your everyday life is smart. I'm just looking through our questions here. Okay. I'll ask you a couple more personal questions, I guess. So what is your favorite thing to do when it comes to physical activity? Since we're talking about, obviously, I mean, you could say I love doing physical therapy and it's all I ever do, but I don't know if I'd believe you. So like, what do you do?
That would not be a great answer. Personally, I mean, I played a bunch of sports. I played baseball, I played basketball, and then I kind of fell in love with running. Running was one of those sports that I think it just, there's a great community aspect behind running and all those things. And it's just such an easy method of exercise to do. I mean, you just have to go out there and strap on some shoes and you're good. However, I will say it is probably the hardest and most injury prone exercise that you can choose to do. I myself have just, you know, experienced a plethora of nagging injuries over the course of trying to run and compete in races. So it's definitely a challenge, but more now I've taken on weightlifting and things of that nature. I think an important part also to understand is that you don't have to be doing, you know, all this vigorous exercise all the time, you know, 5 days a week. I think that there's so many other methods of physical activity that you can do, simply just going for a walk. I try to go for a walk in the morning, 30 minutes, let's put on a podcast, and it really helps get me in the right mindset. It helps get me just kind of get your blood going and get you ready in the morning. Another activity I've really enjoyed doing is disc golf.
Nice.
It's just kind of a fun free that we picked up, me and my buddies picked up over the pandemic, and it's been just a really fun way to get outside.
Yeah, and that's a solid pandemic activity.
Yes,
that's some absolutely genius and moves. I like that.
And it's free, so can't go wrong there with those.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
What about you? Are you still weightlifting?
I don't do weightlifting anymore. I did powerlifting for a long time. But I've been doing a lot of calisthenics now. I tried to do a challenge at the beginning of the year where I like walked on my hands for 1 minute extra every day. And I did that. I got up to like 28, and then my body crapped out because it was a lot, but that was fine. And then I rested for a couple of days, and then starting in February, I started doing like full body calisthenics workout 3 times a week. So that's been great. And it's nice I wake up, I take it at my own pace. And if I have to include like any physical therapy exercises, or if I just feel like I have a little extra energy, or if my recovery is dragging between sets, I'll throw something in there that doesn't feel like a lot of exertion, but I know it's going to pay me benefits later, helping my posture and all that stuff. So that's what I do now. And I fucking love it. I've powerlifted for such a long time. All the calisthenics and gymnastics stuff that I'm trying to learn how to do it. Like, my big goal right now is to get to a handstand pushup, which, like, we're far away, but it's a huge goal. And for me, it's been great to learn, and it's really relevant to this conversation. Like, you have to take slow steps forward towards something like this. Like, if I had been doing this my whole life, I'd be able to do it no problem, but I haven't. And so it's definitely been teaching me patience, and it's made me more aware of how other things in my body feel, right? Like, because I'm you're super aware of your upper body all the time. And when you introduce something like that, you're like, oh, my shoulder hurts. And then you're like, that's how my hip hurts. Well, what did I do to my shoulder? And you're like, oh, I did this. And then you, I don't know. It's crazy. And you make, you make all of these connections, and you become more aware of your body. And it's, I don't know. I look forward to it. I look forward to the end of my workout, because that's when I do all the movement stuff, and I'm like, all right, I'm tired, but like, one more set and it's handstand time. I'm gonna fall on my ass 10 times like I did today.
Awesome.
I would recommend it to anybody. It's also awesome because you don't have to go anywhere and see anyone or buy any equipment if you don't want to. It's awesome.
Yeah, so that's absolutely. The less equipment you can use, the better, right? It's just gonna, like you said, it even allows you to be more aware of your body, because you get to just spend more time. You kind of get to explore. You don't have to be in a gym. You can be in your own room. You can kind of explore different movements. And I think that's really what it's all about, is becoming more aware of your body and what's going on with it is a huge part of what we try to teach. And because really, I mean, I can't sit there and say, you know, oh, is this painful? Is this hurting you?
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, right? You eventually have to take on that role. So it's awesome that it sounds like you're doing a great job of that.
Yeah, that's what I want to be able to take care of myself. I want to be happy, moving around, doing handstands well into my 90s. So like, I want to.
I think you can do it. I think for sure.
Well, we gotta, you gotta try, right? You gotta, I always have to set a goal, and then, you know, maybe I won't be able to do it after I turn like 95. I'll just,
yeah, maybe to, we like, can,
you know, I'll just still, yeah, you know, do push.
You'll probably still be streaming there, maybe, but
I hope, hopefully, yeah. I don't know if they'll be streaming then. We might just all talk to each other with brain chips, and then people that, yeah, will like tune into your brain chip feed, and I'll be like, oh, what's up, everybody? Yeah, let's be funny together or something. I have no idea. Like, I'm
I'll
old.
Just, yeah, I'll just
want to experience some memories of before the internet with me. Okay, here we go. You know, like, I have no idea, but I would be down. That'd be a blast.
It is, yeah, crazy stuff.
It'd be my favorite. We're coming up on the end of our time here. So I just want to give you the opportunity. We always give our guests right now. If you have anything going on that you want to promote, anything that you're working on, anything you want to share with everybody. And I would definitely recommend leaving everyone with one more tip if you could.
Yes, I will sign us out of here. Again, my name is Brian. I don't really have any type of social media presence or anything like that. I'm just a guy who's in school, right? But, I think if I, you know, I guess I'll give a little plug to physical therapy in itself, and that I think that it's a great tool for people to use. I really hope that in the future that there's more accessibility for all patients of all levels, because I think that would just be a great asset for people to have, to be able to be pain-free, to continue being able to move. And, you know, we're seeing that, you know, it's becoming more accessible just with the direct access clinics and all of that stuff too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of my plug for PT, and just, you know, I think it's important to have, it'd be great to have a working relationship with a physical therapist or someone you can go to for information or education. Yeah. We're kind of a unique, medical provider, because we actually get to spend a lot of time with our patients. Primary care physicians don't always get that amount of time that they do with their patients. Mm. So, you know, we can spend a lot of time just simply talking, educating. I know a lot of time I've spent in my clinic has just been focused on purely educating and, you know, not necessarily focusing on movement. So, you know, use physical therapists. They're an asset to, you know, society. And I think that, you know, you're going to see more and more of it as we move on, hopefully in the gaming space too.
Yeah.
If I had to leave you guys with that, yeah, one more tip. I think that we already mentioned a few good ones. We mentioned, you know, trying to be able to be more, you know, just getting up from your chair, trying to, you know, to just be more move, have more movement in your, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, move around.
Have more movement in your daily life. And, you know, find something that you enjoy doing is really what it comes down to. You know, whether that be going for a walk, playing some disc golf, playing a sport, dancing, anything that you can to do to get your body moving. Try to find something that you enjoy to, and make that a staple in your kind of daily routine, I think is what it comes down to.
I completely agree. I almost said chat, but chat's not here. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wish. Thank you so much for tuning in today, everybody. My name is Professor Broman. I was joined today by Brian McGill, future Dr. Physical Therapy. Please take this seriously. I wanted to do this podcast for a reason. You know, taking care of your body is important. As I've stated a couple times through this podcast, I've learned, you know, a hard lesson this year about what happens when you don't. And this ties all the way back to the beginning of the pandemic. You can go back and listen to me and the Gamer Doc talk at the beginning of the pandemic. Having one session with a physical therapist, this was her advice, having one session with physical therapist where you just go in and they give you some instructions after they do a movement profile on you or something like that. Mm-hmm. Following their instructions afterwards and doing those exercises can change your life. So, you know, take some time, invest in yourself. I promise you're going to like it. It's turned my life around. It's turned my life around, yeah, in a positive way for sure. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please send this to anybody who you thought about during the podcast, and you can leave a rating or subscribe if you want. But until next time, I'm Professor Broman. I already said that. This is a long outro. Goodbye.